interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's an odd story from one of the weirdest states of all. Rush for it, Shelley. Florida. There you go. Forgot to warn you about that. Listen to this. A woman was working as a waitress at a Hooters restaurant there, and she took part in a beer sales competition. And they basically told her whoever sells the most beer during this period of time is going to win a Toyota. And so the woman was just thrilled when she won the contest, was happily expecting to see her brand new car. They blindfolded her, took her to the parking lot, removed the blindfold, and guess her surprise when she realized the Toyota was actually a toy Yoda from Star Wars.
No
way. All part of an April Fool's joke that the restaurant played on this woman. Silly waitress, you don't get your free car for selling the most beer. And so the woman did not find the humor in that. She quit her job and she sued Hooters. And they say, well, she settled for an undisclosed sum of money and, according to rumors, more than enough for her to buy a real Toyota. And so, therefore, consider that a warning, as April Fool's is soon going to be upon us. April 1st, and you remember every year I tell you about how crazy things can get in the month of April. But hey, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
And a good evening to you too, sir. What is going on?
Well, you know, we were having an off-the-air conversation about just all the weird energy that is just flowing all over the country, all over the world. And I guess it makes sense because, for one thing, it's a presidential election year, and things always get weird during election years. This one is particularly bizarre, though, by anybody's standards. And then you have people who are sort of going through life-changing and life-altering experiences. I won't get into the list
But boy, it's happening so rampantly. I'm really kind of concerned about what the month of April is going to look like this year. How about you, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop? You're very sensitive to these things. How would you describe the vibe out there in the world right now?
It does not feel good right now. It is a crazy, crazy time. It feels just yucky. And I don't know how to really describe it other than it's just a really... It's a feeling of being off kilter. Things aren't quite right. Things are just crazy. People are doing really stupid things. Nothing is making any sense. And, it just feels really, really weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got a lot of wild stuff to talk about on the show tonight, as usual. But whenever I sense that we're going through these big transitions, I like to get some different viewpoints from people who might have some insight on what's happening. And so I have a couple of guests lined up for the program tonight. These are folks I've known for many years. And, you know, just recently CNN sent a crew to Asheville to spend some time shooting these folks for a show called United Shades of America, which is going to be debuting this spring, again on CNN. They interviewed a couple of famous witches in Asheville, Queen Lady Passion and her partner Duvet. She's the high priestess of the Coven Oldenwild, and he's the high priest. Supposedly, they were leaping over their cauldrons. And so we've been in touch, and she said, let me tell you, we have a lot of stuff happening right now within this world of witchcraft. And she said that they actually, well, they've had a book that's been a bestseller for, gosh, I guess 10 years or something like that, called The Goodly Spell Book. And they now, I believe it's okay to talk about this. If not, then, you know, I'll have them tell you. They have some other publications coming out. And so I'm interested in getting them on to talk to us a little bit about what they think is happening right now in the world. And is their form of witchcraft, is it growing in popularity? Is it affecting things more? Or is it affecting things less? You know, these two, they're very controversial. And they've been in the news more than any other two folks, certainly in Western North Carolina, regarding the topic of witchcraft. Do you guys remember, I know you do, Shelley, but do you remember, Sam, when the big magnolia tree controversy hit the local news around Pax Tavern?
Yeah, where they used to have Shindig on the Green.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
it was
right.
A big tree right there at City County Plaza, and that you would go there and there would be people picking and a-grinning.
Yep. Well, that magnolia tree became a central, you know, fixture of the local witch scene. As a matter of fact, our guests tonight are hand-fasted, and basically that's a pagan form of marriage. And I know a lot of people have been hand-fasted around that tree. I don't know if they were or not, but... So that tree was going to be cut down at one point, supposedly due to construction, and that became a big, crazy mess. And we were sort of – we had some kind of front row seats to some of that because my museum used to be over in an area near the magnolia tree. So anyway, who knows what they're going to have to tell us, but it seemed like we needed to get an update from them, and maybe they can give us a little insight. Something else that's noteworthy, whenever – I am unavailable to do this show, and I think this is going to be a very busy year. I'm fortunate that I just recently signed another TV contract to supposedly develop a TV show, so I don't know how that's going to affect my schedule. But over the years, when that sort of thing has happened, we've put a lot of best ofs together, and Sam, you've done a very good job with those. And one of the people that I always really enjoyed most, probably my favorite interview in the whole history, the 13-year history of this show, was my opportunity to talk to Dr. Edgar Mitchell. And we have played that a number of times on the air. And he was the sixth man to walk on the moon. He recently passed away. He was 85 years old. But one thing that I will never, ever forget is when I interviewed him. Now, this is a guy who has accomplished everything really you can accomplish. I mean, supposedly only 12 people in history have ever walked on the moon. And if you get to be one of those people, I mean, you are considered the most competent of the most competent. And yet, this very rational-sounding man sat right there with me on live radio and said that he was briefed before he went on his mission by NASA and other government officials and told that there are at least four types of humanoid aliens running around out there. Now, that is pretty earth-shattering when you hear something like that. And so he was the only guy who had the cojones to actually go out there and say that kind of thing. And again, it's not like you're listening to him and he sounded like he was nuts. I mean, he sounded always like a very intelligent, reasonable guy. And yet he said, look, it's true. There are aliens out there. You need to know, you know. So anyway, I just want to point out that he recently passed away, and that's very sad. But at the same time, I think he lived a long, rewarding life. And he will certainly be remembered fondly by myself and a lot of other people. And when we come back from this break, I want to tell you about a story I read that I think maybe he would like. He would approve of this. I have a headline here, Private Citizens Sending Up Satellite for UFO Research. And, you know, boy, what an interesting time period we live in. When everybody now is starting to buy drones and they're getting, obviously, private personal satellites, you have other countries that are sending probes up to the moon. So if indeed what Dr. Edgar Mitchell was saying was accurate, then I think we may be finally reaching a point where keeping this secret about aliens is going to become impossible. Unless the government does something severe in order to restrict people from going out there and exploring space and observing with all these drones and whatnot, because I've always felt that the government is never going to voluntarily disclose that. If it ever happens, it will be because we've reached a moment technologically where we're going to be able to do more privatized exploration, and eventually we're going to see it, you know, in a very public way. You have somebody like, you know, Branson or Elon Musk or like one of these super rich guys who can afford to go out and do his own exploration, who's going to run into one of these things and cannot wait to be the first person to truly stand up and break the news on the mainstream level. Maybe this is the year for that. Who knows? But that said, boy, yeah, what a program tonight. I want to remind everybody, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, there is a live chat during the show. There's more information on topics discussed. You'll find links to all kinds of great stuff like Wright's Coin Shop. Now's the perfect time to check out Wright's. Yes, the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour runs year-round, is more popular than ever. Also, you'll find free podcasts there. Many, many years worth of this show you can listen to for free without signing up or registering or doing anything like that that's kind of a pain. All that and more is at speakingofstrange.com. All right, my friends, tonight's program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's, by the way, especially if you're in the Asheville area, 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Thank you for spending your evening tonight listening to Speaking of Strange. Yes, the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight. It's called Speaking of Strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and joining all of you from the Bermuda Triangle here in Puerto Rico, whereas Sam and Shelley are at the flagship station there, News Radio 570 WWNC in Asheville, North Carolina. So, okay, a number of things I want to dig into, but let me get back to this story. Private citizens sending up satellite for UFO research says there has been little scientific data collected from space in relation to UFOs, but this is about to change as a global team of researchers have started CubeSat for Disclosure Project. One of the guys involved here, a software engineer from Vancouver, Canada, initiated this project after seeing so many credible people come forward claiming that Earth is being visited by extraterrestrial beings. He says, quote, "We have former astronauts, military personnel, police officers, and the former defense minister of Canada who have all come forward stating that extraterrestrial UFOs are real and that we are being visited. How can this be ignored and brushed off as nonsense?" End quote. So right now they're gathering funding for a small group of satellites called CubeSats. They say that you can send one of these things into orbit for as little as $20,000. Isn't that amazing? And as technology progresses, with individuals like Elon Musk learning to land booster rockets for reuse, it's going to get even cheaper. So they go on and on talking about how that, the specifics here, but basically they say they can send one of these up and keep it in low Earth orbit for 2 or 3 months. And you have to consider, folks, that usually when a satellite is sent up to outer space, it's not being sent up there to look for UFOs. I mean, it's being sent up there to accomplish some other very practical task, which usually has to do more with, quote-unquote, looking down at Earth than it does looking out into the space around Earth. You know, you're talking about GPS and various communications, transmissions, and all that. So this is really cool. This is good news. And but you have to ask yourself, really, I mean, you've heard your whole life, they use that example all the time about when Orson Welles did his big War of the Worlds broadcast and people heard that without catching the disclaimer at the beginning and they started supposedly freaking out. Now, that was a long time ago, but there has always been this excuse, well, if we tell people about extraterrestrials, we're going to lose control over them because they're going to go bonkers. And I don't know if that's really true or not. I kind of feel like it might be just the opposite, that people would actually have more respect for their politicians and their government officials because they would suddenly say, wow, just like in the whole Independence Day scenario, we got to sort of look out for each other because we're not the only kids on the block here. And in fact, I mean, you know, Shelley, did you feel like that the average person would like freak out and start doing illogical things if it were announced tomorrow that, you know, that the humanoid extraterrestrials are zooming around out there?
I don't know. I mean, of course, there would be some people that would go, you know, just absolutely crazy. And, yeah, they would freak out. Most people wouldn't. Then again, a lot of people wouldn't even find out because they never watched the news. I don't know. But you and I have different views of aliens. I got so much going on and so much to do. I don't have time to think about that too. But you have this feeling that they would be very friendly and that this would be a good positive thing, whereas I'm kind of, you know, with those people that think, you know, they're going to eat us. We're food, we're low on the food chain. We're just a tasty snack.
Well, I think that the original reason that these beings visited Earth was to enslave us, and so, you know, I definitely don't think that they're all goody two shoes here, but however, I do think that if they wanted to destroy us or hurt us or do something like that, well, then they probably would have done it already. I don't know exactly what they have been waiting for, but you know, when it comes to this Well, for one thing, when it comes to politics, I've talked to a lot of people, especially like my good friend Jim Mars, who has always said basically, hey, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or whatever, everybody's looking at politicians and saying, why do these guys make all of these decisions that don't seem to make sense to the rest of us? And you can never understand the motivation behind why they do the things they do unless you accept the reality of some kind of contact between humans and non-human entities that's mixed up somewhere in there. And I'm not saying that most of them have that contact, but the tiny sliver that do are the ones who are in very influential positions. But when we look at this question of how humans would react, it reminded me of something which actually kind of ties in a little bit to some of the discussions that we're going to have tonight with our guests, as well as another story I have here. When I was 15 years old, I started writing articles for the Asheville Citizen Times, which is the largest newspaper there in Western North Carolina. And when I was, I think, barely 16 years old, I got an opportunity to write an article about psychics, people who are supposed to be psychic. And back in those days, it was not easy to find self-proclaimed psychics in Asheville because, as it turns out, in North Carolina, there used to actually be an anti-fortune-telling law. And it basically said you can't pretend you're a fortune teller or you can go to jail or whatever the penalty was. And so I heard about this woman in West Asheville, I will not use her name, who had not lived in Asheville all that long, but she supposedly was, you know, she was a psychic and she would do readings. So I went to her house and sat there. It was just the two of us. It was the first time I ever really had a professional sort of psychic interaction. And it was very interesting. I'll never forget some of the things that she told me. And so at one point, however, she said, well, I've heard that there is some kind of anti-psychic fortune-telling law here, so I have to be, you know, careful about what I do. Well, I wanted to know if this was true or not, so I called the police department, and I said, is it true that there is some kind of law against people telling, you know, fortunes or being psychic? And they said, yep, there sure is. And I said, well, that's weird. So I kept talking to the police, and I knew I was going to write an article about this woman anyway. So they said, well, who is this woman you've been talking to? And so maybe it was a bit naive of me at that stage to tell them who I'd been talking to, but I did. And after that, she wouldn't talk to me anymore because she called me up and said the police had called her and harassed her. And so that was – and she didn't blame me for it, but I was just amazed, you know, that to me, that's a form of freedom of expression because it wasn't like she was asking for money from me. I think that she usually took donations. But anyway, the point is
– snitches get stitches. That's the point.
Yeah. Our guests tonight, Queen Lady Passion and Duvet, they say that they played an integral role in getting that fortune-telling law overturned in the state of North Carolina. So it's no longer in effect, which is why now you can drive down a road and you might see, you know, a number of ads. And so I'm going to get the scoop from them and ask them exactly what they did about that. But I bring this up because here I see this news news story, and it said that right now in Saudi Arabia, they actually are training the cops there, the actual policemen, how to fight black magic. And now remember, Saudi Arabia is not some primitive place, okay? I mean, it's one of the richest countries in the world.
They're still pretty strict laws,
though. Still pretty
very strict
in that way.
They will cut your hands off if you steal.
Yeah, yeah. And so, well, their moral and ethical codes are, you know, they're still in the Stone Age. But that's amazing to me. We got to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you how they're training cops. These are real bona fide, badge-wearing, gun-toting policemen, teaching them how to apply the policeman trade to fighting black magic. It's kind of amazing to think that we still live in that world. And then also I've got maybe a bit of a funny story I want to read to you about a man who went into a Golden Corral and wanted to see just how far the all-you-can-eat promise would actually go. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. North Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and the number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. And also, if you go directly to WrightsCoinShop.com, you can find a map and all kinds of other information. That's W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. We were talking during the break about just how incredibly wealthy the Middle East is. I was watching a show about the filthy rich recently on CNBC, and you can walk into a shopping mall and go up to a vending machine and buy gold in the vending machine. Gold bullion and whatever else at a vending machine. It's amazing. And Sam, you said you've been to Dubai and you've seen people plate just about everything they own in gold there.
It's really quite breathtaking. And also the fact that there's, for all intents and purposes, if you're driving a gold-plated Ferrari, the traffic laws do not apply to you. Like, they do have cops there. No lie, the cops drive Vipers. The cops drive Mercedes G-Wagons. The cops don't mess with a sheik in a gold-plated Lamborghini or whatever going 190 miles. They'll just fly past you. It's crazy, like eight lanes each way, and you're like, oh, my goodness, we are going to die.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
And so, and yet, you know, and you have some of these countries in the Middle East that are super rich, and yet that doesn't change the way that they view – their moral and ethical standards, which I happen to disagree with. As a guy who was born in North Carolina, I do not understand a lot about how the Muslim world conducts itself, especially when it comes to how women are treated. I can't even imagine forcing a woman to dress like that in the middle of the desert. That's just crazy to me. But anyway, here's an example of how you can have wealth and you can have access to things and you can have education and yet still adhere to some of these sort of principles that we in the Western world associate with more primitive times. I mean, you know, we stopped hanging witches and that sort of thing about 300 years ago, I guess. And yet here is this this story. Saudi cops trained to fight black magic and with a training course. It says their influential religious police have started training its new members. 30 members of the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice have just completed this course at the headquarters. It says they covered all kinds of theoretical and practical lessons on how to deal with magic, how to destroy black artwork and symbolism, and how to identify magicians and sorcerers. And you can be executed, of course, there if you're involved with that sort of thing. And, you know, I was thinking, that could be a killer movie, though, huh? I mean, where you follow the black magic cops around and they're fighting all these wizards.
It sounds kind of suspiciously like that Steven Seagal reality show where he's like, it's just such a preposterous thing. You're like, wait, Steven Seagal is a sheriff and he's just doing kung fu? It's like Saudi cops and black magic. What?
I was thinking of the how to tell if someone's a witch flowchart, the Monty Python. I've got it on my phone. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I remember that. That was funny. Nobody could nail it like Monty Python.
Nobody.
Okay, so here's a story. You know what? I have never been to a Golden Corral. Have either of you?
If I have, it was years ago, and I have blocked it from my memory.
Nope.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm presuming. I don't know if all of them are all you can eat or what.
It's
but,
a buffet. It's a buffet type thing. You know, they got like it's shove your face full of mediocre.
Yeah. So
I think that's the motto, actually.
not going to be getting them as a sponsor anytime soon, huh? So it says here, this is from Massachusetts, Springfield. A man is suing Golden Corral there for false advertising. 51-year-old man was expelled. He went in and he spent 7 hours on site. They claim this man literally ingested somewhere between 50 and 70 pounds.
What?
That's what they say here. And it says that this was advertised as all you can eat. And the manager seems to have lost patience at some point and told him his meal would be free, but he had to leave. Well, from what I understand here, the Golden Corral headquarters have actually said that they didn't agree with that, that the guy shouldn't have been kicked out, that it was a franchise owner or manager who did this. But the guy has refused to settle anything because he is asking for $2 million.
Oh, how ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And well, you know what's funny is Mobius and I have a friend who always was famous for his appetite. I won't name any names here.
Well, I know who Mobius, it is.
Mobius told me this funny story about the two of them going to an all-you-can-eat buffet. And he went straight for the shrimp. And they had like a gigantic bin full of shrimp there. And he said that his friend ate all the shrimp. Didn't have any water or any liquid, by the way, so he could really pack it in there. So he ate all the shrimp, and then he was going to go up for seconds, and the waitress made some kind of little joke, like, hey, you should just take the whole bin with you, right? And he goes, you know what? That's a good idea. And sure enough, he picked up the entire fresh bin of shrimp and brought it to his table. And at this point, you know, cooks are hearing about what's happening. They're looking out of the kitchen. You know, it's like the buzz of the restaurant becomes, wow, we have some super eater here who's cleaning us out. They said there was a graveyard of shrimp remains that, you know, the waitress is having to shovel out of there. And but after that, he went for more and they said, oh, I'm sorry, they're all gone. You know, you ate all of them.
I guess if you're a buffet, you kind of have to hedge your bets like a casino and know that occasionally a whale's going to come in and and clean you out, you know. But for the most part, you're going to get my mom who eats two shrimp, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, that's an interesting concept, all right. And so, yeah, I've always thought that was, you know, that was kind of a strange thing to say, all you can eat, you know, because you, once, like you said, Sam, that's going to happen once in a while. So we'll keep an eye on what happens to this guy who's suing for $2 million. Speaking of people ingesting things, here's a story from the town of Greenbrier, Tennessee. It says here a teenager there may have died after drinking racing fuel with several of his friends.
Well, that doesn't sound very smart at all.
No.
No. 16 years old. It says he went into a coma and then died, and everybody said, well, here's what he was drinking the day before, and they were mixing racing fuel with Mountain Dew.
God. I mean, you know, your highest octane at the pump here, I mean, you get 93. Some states you get like 95. If I'm correct, we have like one pump in South Asheville that does have high test, you know, like it's not pure race fuel, but it's like 103. So, I mean, like you're getting up there into, yeah, I'm sure it would have some effects of alcohol, but you have lots of other effects too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's weird. I remember Stephen King, he wrote about in one of his nonfiction books how bad that his alcoholism got at a point in his life. And he said that he would be so desperate, he would drink everything in the house, and then he'd go into the bathroom and drink the mouthwash. And I've read news stories about how among a lot of school children these days, they're getting hand sanitizer and drinking that.
Yeah.
You know.
And I was playing a show recently in Tennessee, talking to an old timer from Haywood County. Like, he went way back, and he was telling me some stories about these bluegrass greats going to dry counties back in the day, going to the general store and getting cases of aftershave.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a thing. It's amazing how long you can live if you only drink things that come from, like, a grocery store.
Tom Hanks in Family Ties is the uncle with the drinking problem who drank the vanilla extract. Remember that? The very special episode?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Tom Hanks. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're actually going to be into our last segment this hour, and I'm not sure if you guys have heard about this. If not, I'll give you an update. Right now, there's a very strange phenomenon that's happening around the Pacific Northwest. They've had, I think, for a few years now, feet just come washing up on the beach, and I'm talking human feet, and I think it's always a left foot, and nobody can figure out where these feet are coming from. I'll explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Yeah, we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight. Speaking of Strange, coming up next hour, well, we are going to have some special guests. We are going to have the High Priestess and the High Priest of Coven Oldenwild in Western North Carolina. We're going to have Queen Lady Passion and Duvet. And they have been practicing witchcraft in Western North Carolina for over 20 years. They have been very controversial figures. They've been in the media a lot. And They have some announcements that they would like to make, so we're going to have them on the show and see what they've been up to. And also, I want to get their opinion on some of this weird energy that seems to be swirling around the world right now. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And let me remind you, you can call Wright's 828-298-5402. Doesn't matter where you live in the country. It doesn't hurt to give them a call. It's a family-owned business. And get some you know, authentic, reliable information about purchasing gold or silver. And it doesn't take a lot to do that. 828-298-5402. You know, it's funny because when you're in my position and you're studying mysteries all the time, sometimes you can categorize something and say, well, this sounds like it could be UFOs. Maybe this sounds like it's a ghost. This could be a cryptid. This could be psychic phenomena. This could be something angelic. This could be interdimensional. And sometimes you get these stories and you're not sure what category they go into exactly. This may just be a murderer or something else. But it's been around for a little while now. Here's a mystery that started in 2007. They say severed feet keep washing up on the shores of the Pacific Northwest. And they are in shoes. They're still inside shoes. And they say that, you know, sometimes just a vacationer is just walking down the beach and they just happen to look over and find this grisly thing on the beach. 16 of these detached human feet have been found since 2007 in British Columbia, Canada, and Washington State. Most of them have been right feet. Okay, I said before the break I thought they were left, but I'm correcting myself. Most of them are right feet. All of them have worn running shoes or hiking boots. And who knows, I don't know if this is a clue, but they say among them, they've had two Nikes, three New Balances, and one Ozark Trail. So those are shoe brands. One just turned up recently, the 16th one. So nobody has any idea. They say that, you know, there's no record of murders that are missing people that they're aware of that they can connect to this. Why is it just a foot? Why is it a right foot? Why
is it sort of like when you're driving down the road and like in the intersection of a busy street, you're like, you see a sneaker, but you only see, you only see one. And you're like, how did that happen? Like, you always only see one shoe on the side of the road. Have you noticed
that? Maybe there's a foot in it, yeah. Like, maybe we should start looking.
How did that happen? Like, you lost one shoe while you were driving?
I don't understand how 16 people's body parts show up and nobody has reported anybody missing in any of these states. How does that happen?
Yeah, they say they don't have anybody missing that clearly is associated with this. And I'm reading this trying to figure out, you know, I guess you can tell if it's a man's foot or a woman's foot, but they don't seem to mention that in the story. Maybe they're trying to keep that one of the little secrets for some reason, but it's very, very weird. Here's another story that I meant to get to a while back. This is from CBS News. A man was killed by a meteorite in India, apparently. He was a bus driver, and they say that if this is in fact what killed him, this would be the first such time that scientists are sure of where somebody's been killed by a meteorite in nearly 200 years. That's how rare this is. They say the incident occurred on a Friday when the college campus was shaken by an explosion that injured three people. And this bus driver was right there at the spot. Witnesses to the blast said that they saw, they saw this sort of vibration or whatever, but they didn't see any sign of explosives. But they found this 24-pound black rock right there next to the guy. And so right now, you know, scientists are studying it, but they say that, you know, the last time they believed this actually happened was 1825. So this guy, you know, you could say he had some bad luck, But honestly, I always think when something like that happens, that's probably one of the best ways in the world to go, right?
How many people are there in India? There's like over a billion, and you're the one that gets hit with the meteorite?
Quietly in your sleep. I'm thinking that's better.
Yeah. For some reason, that reminds me of the Dennis Miller used to have a routine where he said, no matter how rich I get, no matter how successful I am, I'm always going to keep at least one credit card that's maxed out. And that way, if a meteorite falls and hits me or destroys the Earth, screw you, I won. So occasionally it happens, but not very often. Okay, well, you know, we are going to go ahead and take our break. When we come back, if all goes well, we'll be joined by Queen Lady Passion and Duvet, the High Priest and Priestess of Coven Oldenwild, and we will get an update from them, and we'll talk to them about this weird energy that's going on in the world. We'll find out what they did to overturn or to help overturn this fortune-telling law, and what do they really want people to understand about what they do? Why are they always in the media? We'll get to the bottom of it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. Stick around for more on Speaking of Strange.